둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Hey, I'm Nancy Wilson.
Mike Campbell.
Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo.
Hey, it's Adam from County Crows, and I am here giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back for season four. I'm Peter Chidi of Deep Cuts Media, and this season we're diving even deeper into some of music history's most iconic tracks with the legends who made them.
What's so beautiful about it is a lot of people connect with, you gotta live your life and don't let the big man push you down. Don't have to live like a refugee, can't keep fighting for what you believe. And that was Tom.
From the spark of inspiration to untold tales from the studio, we unlock the true stories that shape the music you love.
At the time on the radio, there was a really cool riff by Nazareth covering a Joni Mitchell song, This Flight Tonight. It had the same groove, but I think Barracuda kind of blew it out of the water.
Join us as we all sit down with music icons like Devo, Heart, Mike Campbell of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Sublime, Counting Crows, and so many more. New episodes are out now from the Consequence Podcast Network, so tune in wherever you get your podcasts and join me for the story behind the song.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, and then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
Do you read Stephen King? Good news. There's a club for you. The Losers Club. Every Friday, us losers journey through the never-ending wastelands of King's Dominion. We sink our teeth into each of King's novels, dive deep into the lore, and review every adaptation. Even better, we're always having guests over. Thomas Jane, Will Wheaton, Mary Lambert, Mick Garris, the list goes on. So what are you waiting for? Join us as we read on through long days and pleasant nights.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Hello to all the subscribers. Thank you all for checking out the series with every episode, actually. We have new ones every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Always appreciate the comments you leave. I try to answer as many of those as possible, especially if you've got questions about the interview. Keep those a-coming. Of course, if you're not a subscriber, I would also hope you take this moment right here. You can grab us at iTunes and Apple Podcasts. You can get us at Spotify, at YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Just type in Kyle Meredith With. And I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, I'm going to be talking with All Time Low. Once again, jumping on the phone with Alex Gaskarth. It was just last year we were talking about his other band, the one he does with Mark Hoppus of Blink-182 called Simple Creatures. But this time, focusing on, I guess what you'd call the other day job, with All Time Low back with a new record called Wake Up Sunshine. Now, I'm going to tie in the two bands, where they left off with Simple Creatures, what all they did last year in that group. Those were a lot of dark songs, and it's quite the opposite. This record is a lot of brightness. It's a lot of sunshine. It's in the title, Wake Up Sunshine. So I definitely want to know about the two sides of the coin and how the records talk to each other. And they do. And it's also been said this is a record where All Time Low gets back to their roots. It's got a classic pop-punk sound to it. Now, while to a point that is by chance, by accident, by a bunch of friends being in the same room together, it's also done with a little bit of purpose, and we'll hear about that. how this record was a reaction to their 2017 LP, Last Young Renegade, which was a bit more produced, as he says, a neon nighttime record, and how all the band members having done their own things in very different parts of the world for the last few years has affected and changed their songwriting and how they write together now. We'll get into songs like Sleeping In, which has a fun Britney Spears nod. In fact, the band has covered Britney, and in this song, they reference the song that they cover. It allows us to talk about Miss Spears, as well as pop punks, you know, being bedfellows with pop songs. It's a history that traces all the way back to those late 90s days. So I want to ask, you know, what appeals to pop for him and how that speaks to his songwriting. And we'll also hear about the first single, Some Kind of Disaster. The video shows them going to a therapy session. Now, I'm told that's not a reflection of the actual state of the band, but Alex will tell you that it is a reflection of his own self. We'll also talk about some other folks like Black Bear, who guests on here, the band Camino, who guests on here, and the Foo Fighters, who they drew some inspiration from as well. Let's get into this interview. Talking about the record Wake Up Sunshine, it's Kyle Meredith with All Time Low.
Hey, Kyle. How you doing, man?
I'm well. It's good to hear from you again. How have you been?
I've been well. You know, obviously laying low right now, but hanging in there, getting through it. It's all good.
I should ask and everything. So you know, everybody is laying low. Is it worth asking what you're actually doing in your downtime? Are you able to be productive at this point? Because I know it's altered a lot of people's plans for the year.
Yeah, obviously, you know, with regards to the band, we're dealing with strange times. And with this release coming up, it's been odd trying to navigate, you know, how to put out new music, given the circumstances, because I think this band has always operated sort of on a very live basis. Mm-hmm. You know, we're usually out there meeting and greeting and doing acoustic performances and in-store signings and traveling around the country when we're in promo mode. And that's obviously just not possible right now. But, you know, I think everybody, it's a testament to mankind right now in that everybody is doing a great job of being very adaptable and flexible. And I don't feel like we've missed a step with getting to interact with our fans via, you know, live chats and video chats and streaming and just finding new ways to get out and connect with people to continue to speak to kind of the record. It's a weird time, admittedly, to like put out an album and to sort of expect people to give it their attention. And, you know, it always feels weird when I go to tweet something like, hey, pre-order our new album, when, you know, there's obviously like much more pressing matters at hand. But at the same time, you know, when we kind of dug in and thought about it at its core, it's like, I think new music is something that our fans want and need right now. Everybody's holed up at home for the most part. And I think, you know, this can serve as an escape and as something that's healing and just something that can kind of come as a break from all of the other noise that's going on right now. So, you know, it was a very cathartic record for us to make, and I hope it will be a cathartic record for people to enjoy.
I've sort of wondered if one of the odd outcomes of this is if we're going to be paying a closer attention to the music that we, like we would have before the age of streaming, before, you know, so much of the internet took over, when, you know, it was more about the album and you knew the liner notes and everything else and you knew every single word to every song. You know, it's like, is this going to be kind of, you know, sort of what happens because of that?
Yeah, I mean, I really hope so. I hope that's the case. I think it would be amazing if given, you know, having a little bit of extra time and focus on these things will kind of serve as a reminder that like things shouldn't just be consumed arbitrarily and listened to, you know, as elevator music. It's like it will be a reminder to people that like, you know, kind of focusing in and listening in a more thoughtful way might serve as an eye-opening moment for some people, and that would be really cool.
Well, luckily we do work in an industry where creativity is sort of put front and center, or at least we hope that's the case anyway. So seeing
yes,
how
indeed.
Artists, you know, do that, you know, even when it's pandas kidnapping your drummers or, you know, whatever the case may be, I have enjoyed the rollouts of watching you all do this. You're always doing some really fun stuff. So I guess
Thank
compliments
you. Yeah,
on
I mean,
that.
We just like messing with the fans. And I think just anything that's interactive and feels like it's kind of multi-layered is always really fun. I think, you know, the video chat that you're referencing in particular, it's like, I don't think anybody saw that coming, and it definitely got people's attention. Mm-hmm. And it's just fun. It's easy and fun to do. And I think it just adds a layer to, you know, what people can kind of take away from the band. You know, it's there's the music and the live show, obviously, but then, like, you know, we do like to be interactive, and we like to have those moments and create those moments for for our fan base. And it's just fun for us.
Yeah. Well, talking about this record, Wake Up Sunshine, you know, you and I talked as recently as last year. Of course, we were talking about Simple Creatures back then. And my first thought was not only the title, but the title as well as, you know, how we're hearing these songs. It seems like a really stark contradiction to where you were in the other band, you know, because I think that a lot of those songs came from darker places that we were talking about. Is this the other side of the coin for you?
Yeah, I would say so. I think this is kind of the other end of the tunnel, so to speak. And having worked through some of those things in the music that Simple Creatures was putting out, I think this is now the catharsis and the ready to see the world again record for us. And, you know, I think a lot of that comes from the fact that we worked on this album together very much on our own terms under the same roof, you know, from beginning to end. And it just kind of had that really sort of fun, celebratory energy to it. Unintentionally at first, you know, I think the music that we started making just came out that way. And, you know, once we realized that it was starting to take shape into an album, you know, that's when the title of the record came together and the general sort of ethos for the whole thing.
Well, even in the press releases, you know, there's a few sometimes cliche phrases thrown around, like back to the roots, rekindling the spark, you know, that type of stuff. Was that part of it? I mean, did you guys need to get back to, you know, a certain thing, a certain core? From you know, years past?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, you know, generalities and kind of like trite stereotypes aside, like it did kind of feel like a return to form, not so much in us going like, let's make a return to form record, but in the sense of us getting together, living under one roof, making a record the way we used to make records when we first started out, you know. And there's a song on the record about just that. The last song on the record, Basement Noise, is about our beginnings and about our origin as a band and you know, how we ended up where we are 15 years later still doing this. And it's kind of that moment of reflection as we were all sitting around making this record going, huh, it's pretty crazy that, you know, to think that all this time later, we're still able to do this and we still enjoy it and we still like being around each other and we're not, you know, having our lawyers meeting each other's lawyers and talking about how to make this record. You know, it's a gift. And we feel very, you know, I feel very lucky that we still get to do this and celebrate it in the way that we do. And I think that's kind of what it means when if anybody ever says like sort of a return to the roots is more in the process than the product.
Although, you know, when you look back, you know, I will say it's never fair to compare records, I guess. But this does seem like not an about face so much, but it's definitely seems like a conversation against where you all left off with The Last Young Renegade. Like there is a difference between that record and what I'm hearing on this record. And maybe that's natural.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I will say this. I think Last Young Renegade was I see it as being like set at night in this like sort of neon glow of a rainy city kind of thing. That's the setting for that album. And this one definitely feels like it's a drive up the Pacific Coast Highway in the summer. You know, it's kind of the the other side of that coin, day and night, so to speak. And it, again, that energy really, it wasn't a conscious decision at first. You know, we all got together and started making music and that's just kind of what came out. I think we were all ready to sort of make a sunny, bright album.
Yeah.
And it just came at the right time for us.
That seems like a natural thing for most bands too. Like each record tends to be, in a lot of ways, a reaction to the previous record.
Sure.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting how that always works out. With everyone, you know, in the past few years, spread out and having done their own things, did you notice an obvious difference in how you all write now? Write now.
I got you. I mean, yeah, just in the sense that, you know, we bring a lot more experience to the table individually and as a band. And I think one of the coolest things seeing us all together under one roof creating is that like we create the same way that we perform on stage. And that is very like, we're sort of in each other's heads a lot of the time. We kind of know what the next move of, you know, each of us is. And so I think creatively that's shown through as well, because it's kind of like, oh, well, I know that Zach would do this in the bridge. So I'm going to write the bridge knowing that he would do that. You know, the things like that. And I think it was a very natural energy to be around, and that like someone would walk out of the room and walk back in and be like, oh, that's exactly what I was thinking we should do there. It's just, you know, and then everybody's happy. Everybody's celebrating together and the music is coming out true to form.
Yeah, the benefits of long-term relationships where you have a same brain.
Exactly.
Let's hear about some of the songs too. There's a handful of them already out there. I was laughing just at the title of Getaway Green. Not at the title, but the lyrics, too, because that sounds like such a distant idea right now, what you're talking about in our current moments.
Yeah, but it's nice to imagine, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it is. Whereas, you know, sleeping in definitely kind of fits the moment.
You know, 100%.
I think it's what we're doing.
It's kind of scary how relevant some of the lyrics in that song are. The Postmates and Dirty Laundry has never been more real to me than it is right now.
Hear a little bit about that song too. It's got the Britney nod in there, and there's a history of you guys covering Britney, and I think you tell a story of one of the bandmates wearing a Britney hoodie. I mean, that all kind of fits in the story, right?
Yeah, I mean, we covered that particular song that I quote in this song, and you know, it wasn't really for any other reason than I like a good nod to good pop, and that lyric just kind of came to me as Jack walked across the room wearing a hoodie with Britney's face on it, and I was just like, that's a really interesting little nugget right there, and I liked the visual of it. I liked the idea of, like, you know, when you're having one of those moments with that person that you're just like sort of in the honeymoon phase of a relationship or something, and there seem to just be a lot of sleepless nights where you can't get enough of each other, and that's kind of what we're talking about in that song. And I just like the visual of two people staying up till 7 a.m. like dancing to whatever their favorite pop music is at the time, and just not wanting to let it go.
Punk and pop punk especially, I mean, it's always been bedfellows, especially with covering pop songs. Hell, there were entire compilations put together in the late 90s and 2000s, you know, yeah, just punk bands covering pop. I don't know if you can speak for everybody, obviously, but where does that come from, at least for you?
Well, I think for me is that, you know, the very genre of pop punk is kind of an interesting, it's an interesting dichotomy, because like punk is sort of everything anti what pop sort of stands for. So as a genre in general, I think it's sort of a funny thing. But that being said, I think a lot of it has to do with the melodic sensibility that is inherent in pop music, and sort of bringing some of that to the table with faster, kind of maybe edgier music styling. And for me, that was always sort of the perfect blend. Like, I've always liked aggressive, fast, loud rock music. But then, you know, I found sometimes that the deeper into rock you go, or the heavier you get, there's then a distinct lack of melody. And melody is always really important to me. So kind of the blurring of those two worlds is just perfect in my mind, because it satisfies my need for great melody, but it doesn't kind of lose the edge.
It's interesting too, because it seems like they first did it, it was sort of with a big dose of irony or tongue in cheek. But along the lines, you know, everybody let that guard down and everybody was like, wait a second, it's not ironic. I like this song.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I think at first everybody felt weird about doing it. So they were kind of guarding themselves by being sarcastic. And we did that too. But then it's kind of just like, no, this actually just feels good. Let's just embrace it. You know, and I think it's a different genre, but like, you know, one of my favorite bands of all time, the Foo Fighters, like kind of blend, you know, rock music and melody perfectly. And that's another band that, you know, I take a lot of inspiration from, draw a lot of inspiration from, in that, you know, it's not wrong to do both. You can have both, and you can do it well,
right,
without having to sort of hide behind a guise of like, oh, no, we're just kidding.
No, they've done some amazing covers. I mean, Darling Nikki is one of my favorite Foo covers, and Baker Street.
Yeah.
You know, it's not exactly, you know, it's more classic rock, but they've never hid from those things.
No, exactly, and nor should you. You know, there's no reason.
I should also bring up that video of Sleeping In, too, because you guys throw a big nod to rescue animals, right?
Yes, we do. We thought, you know, music videos in this day and age are such an interesting thing, because they're not the promotional tools that they used to be, but having a visual to a song is always really cool. And so we just thought long and hard about what kind of good we could do with these videos, and you know, making sort of a 3-minute like tongue-in-cheek ode to relationship troubles felt fun to be able to still throw in some kind of message of positivity and hope by you know, shouting out animal rescues and adding that into the narrative.
And was that one of your dogs I heard in the background a minute ago?
Yes, those are my two dogs. The one of whom is a very vocal boy. He likes to think the FedEx dude just got here or something.
That's our doorbell as well. That's our FedEx doorbell as well.
Yeah, exactly.
While we're on the conversation of videos too, cause some kind of disaster. Now that's a different side. That shows a therapy session, and I was wondering, like, does that mirror actually what was going on with the band, or is that sort of, again, is that more of a tongue-in-cheek thing?
No, to be honest, it was so the visual for that song is really about kind of me acknowledging my faults and my flaws and the darker characteristics in me that I, you know, sort of try and hide from and deny. And I think, you know, that's a very human thing. I think a lot of people sort of protect themselves from their darker parts. So it was kind of a visual representation of me sitting down in a room with all of those aspects of myself and kind of looking them in the eye and saying, you know, I acknowledge you and I'm okay with you.
Well, it's a hell of a song on top of that. And it's so damn catchy.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
And, I mean, those moments are all throughout the record, too. You know, while I'm giving the compliment there, you know, and I think I could just, I mean, any song on here. I love the classic rock that goes on in that song, Clumsy. You know, so many cool little moments. And I kind of wrap up, too, because, you know, I don't want to pass over. You've got some guests on here as well with Black Bear and the band Camino. How did those arrive? Were they specifically chosen or just convenient?
No, not convenient at all. If I'm being honest, I've actually tried to always shy away from features that feel convenient or just like, hey, that's the low hanging fruit right there. The Black Bear collaboration came around. I mean, he's been a friend of ours for a while, but he's always sort of been in our atmosphere. We just never really had the idea to ask to do a collaboration. Mm-hmm. And then the way it came to be was that we were working on that song Monsters with Andrew Goldstein, a longtime collaborator of ours. And Andrew had been producing some of the new Black Bear music. Like they're actually having major success right now with Hot Girl Bummer, I think, at radio. And it was one of those moments where we were working on the song and Andrew just kind of brought it up. He was like, you know, who would actually be really cool on this is Black Bear. And we all kind of took a moment of pause and went, huh, that's something we've never tried before. That could be cool. So we shot it over to him and he was into it and laid down his parts and came up with a really clever nod actually to one of his other songs in this song. And it just felt like this perfect kind of untapped moment that, you know, a band that's been together for 15 years, we hadn't tried anything like that before. And it felt great. So that's how that one came to be. And then Band Camino, our label mates of ours, good friends. And I would say that with that one, Favorite Place was kind of a finished song. And I sort of felt like it had some flavors of what they're doing. And I kind of acknowledged that. And I was like, this sort of, you know, it sort of feels like I kind of like tapped into maybe a little bit of what they've been doing on this one. And so I hit them up and just said, it would only feel right if you guys were a part of this, because it kind of feels like a song that somehow I, you know, I drew from you guys. And they were down to be a part of it. And I think it came out that much better because of them.
Well, it's seriously fun record. I really enjoyed listening to it. And it's always great to have All Time Low around. So thank you guys.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Appreciate that.
Alex, always a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for taking the time again today. And hopefully when all this hopefully gets back to normal, we'll be able to catch, you know, some of these live shows.
Right on, man. Yeah, you as well. Be safe, be well. And yeah, take care. And we'll see you soon.
All right, man. Take care. We'll see you. Bye.
Have a good one.
My thanks, Alex Gaskarth. The new All-Time Low record is called Wake Up Sunshine. And thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, if you are not a subscriber and you want to keep up with this series, grab us at iTunes and Apple Podcasts. You can get us at Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Just type in Kyle Meredith with subscribe, and we'll send new interviews to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover new artists and hear what's happening in music. So I really hope you do that. And if you're already a subscriber and you can give the series a rating, leave a review or comment. Those are always big helps as well. And after that, head to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres and music news and anniversary spins and bonus interviews. Again, that's WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound has your music and film news. You can find me on just about any social media platform at Kyle Meredith. Say hi over there as well. I'm Kyle Meredith. That does it for another edition. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.